John 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Very, very good. So everybody did your soap as well? Anybody? No? There was no soap from last week? Did you use your soap? Yes, in Bible reading and studying, all that great stuff. Beautiful. All right. So, say that again.
I'm still behind a little bit, but.
And that's okay. As long as you're doing it. As long as you're doing it. That's what matters. So, like I said, we have a jam-packed night, and Jeremiah's going to come up, and we're going to get started with week 9, and then he's going into 10, and then I'll be back.
All right. All right, thank you, Ashley. All right. Well, as Ashley said, we have a jam-packed night because we are not going to be here next week. That doesn't mean that we get to skip week 10. That would be wrong. You would be without a lot of pertinent information, really good stuff. So we are. We're going to compact 9 and 10 all in one night. And so I'm going to come at you with tons of scripture, tons of fill in the blanks, and it's a perfect night for y'all to have nothing but food in front of y'all. And no pen because everybody's eating. So you're going to have twice the information and half the attention because we're all eating this delicious food. And it does look really good and it smells awesome. Thank you to everybody who brought food tonight so we can celebrate what's going on in these grow tracks. I'm very, very excited. As we transition out of section 2 and into section 3, for me personally, this is a section that we're going into that it hits home for me. It's a very important subject, and for me, it's a very personal subject, and I think it should be for each of us. We're going into a section that is about discovering and fulfilling your God-given potential. So I'm going to quiz you again because we didn't do so well on that memory verse, but can somebody tell me one of our values, our church values, that coincide with section 3 and what we're going to be talking about? You had it. That's right. That's right. That's our mission step. Your God-given potential is our mission here at this church. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about that call that God has placed on each and every one of you. Every single person in this room, every single person that was ever created by God has a call in their life. And a lot of times we stumble through the first parts of our life and we don't really feel or believe that God could use us for anything, and we let a lot of things hinder us, and we're going to talk about some of that tonight. So as we dive in, let's get 4 things out of the way, and let's talk about them, about understanding your call. The first one is, everyone is equally called by God to do what he has created them to do. Now, I know some of you would think, well, how could I be equally called by God to do what Moses did? Or to do what David did, or Noah, and build a big ark like that. But there is not one person on the face of this planet that is not so important to God that he hasn't created you to speak and reach and touch that individual, that your mission is any less important than what Noah, or what David, or what Moses, or any of those guys did. So your call is equally as important. Number 2, everyone is equally responsible to respond to the call and fulfill it. Everyone that has been called, and that's everyone in here, we're equally responsible to seek that, listen to God, search out, and fulfill that call. We're equally responsible. Number 3, the call of God is not optional for those who choose to follow him. And we see many, many examples, and we're going to talk about some of those tonight, about guys who were called of God, they were given a specific mission, and chose to either disobey or delay or argue with God about what they were called to do. But it's not optional. God didn't write in some, well, if you have this, you don't have to do that. Or if you've got this going on over here at your house, well, you don't have to fulfill my call. That's not what he said. It is not an optional thing. God has called each and every one of us, and we have to, and we must answer that call if we choose to say that we are Christ followers. It's not an option. Number four, and this is one of my favorites right here, especially with me and in my life and what I've gone through and some of my background and my past. Number four, the call of God is permanent and cannot be taken away. And we have scripture to back that up. Romans 11:29 says, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." They're irrevocable. They cannot be taken away. It doesn't matter what you do. They're irrevocable. The call that he's placed on your life cannot be taken away based on what you choose to do with your life, based on the decisions that you make. They cannot be taken away. The call is the call, and he's placed it on each and every one of your lives. It's irrevocable, the Bible says. He never withdraws them once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. To me, that's such a beautiful statement. It's such an awesome scripture. And when I first heard that, it really illuminated some things for me in my life, because it's very easy for us to get bound up in our past, isn't it? It's very easy for us to feel unworthy to fulfill a call by God. Because think about it. If God himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sends you to do something, chances are we feel unworthy to complete that mission a lot of times based on things that we've done in our lives. I know I have. I know I can let my past mistakes, my past decisions, the things that I've done, the things that I hear from other people sway me from completing the things that God has asked me and called me to complete. But the Bible says that they are irrevocable. It does not matter what you have done. As long as you come to know him, you repent of those things, his calls are irrevocable. He does not remove them. And that's a great thing. So something that y'all have done, whether it be in Starting Point or Grow Track 1, is take a personality assessment. How many in here have taken that? Oh, we got a lot. Even if you didn't raise your hand, we've got a list, so we know who's taking it. Gotcha. Perfect. So on your table, and we're going to go into this a little bit more later, on your table there's a list, and everybody's name should be on there. And if your name's not on there, please speak up. There's also personality assessments on those tables. We want everybody in this room to have taken a personality assessment and really dig in. And if you don't know, if you're just unsure, this will help you to see the giftings and the callings that God's placed on your life. It'll help steer you in the right direction. And we want everybody in here to take that assessment. And we want to know, because we want to help you in that calling. That's what that mission said earlier. Your God-given potential is our mission. So these are the things and the tools that we're giving y'all that we can partner with you to help you find out what your strengths are, what your God-given characteristics are that can help you complete that mission and that goal and that call that God's placed in your life. So part of that, we do what's called shape. So what unique shape do you have? Shape. Oh man. Was that a bad subject? See, JR brought that all the way back home here. He said, we come in different shapes, and for a reason, right? We weren't all created to look the same way for a purpose. But that's not the kind of shape we're talking about tonight. The kind of shape we're talking about is the S, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, a set of special abilities that God has given you to share his love and to serve others. The H stands for heart. The special passions God has given you so that you can glorify him on earth. Your abilities, the set of talents God gave you when you were born, which he also wants you to use to make an impact for him. Your personality. We all have a unique and a special personality, and not everybody's the same, and that's good, that's okay. The special way that God wired you to navigate life and fulfill your unique purpose in his kingdom. That's one that kind of sticks out to me, because a lot of times we try to be something that we're not. Am I right? I grew up and I was a little more serious of a person growing up. I know that's kind of hard to believe for some of y'all, but I really was. And I had a tendency to be more dry and more serious. And for the longest time, I didn't really embrace that. And I didn't know why I was like that. But I see that God placed that in me for a reason. There's things that he placed in us. There's a way that he wired us. There's a personality that he gave us for a reason. And it's to impact and to touch and to reach other people that only maybe you could reach or touch or impact based on that personality, that way that you're wired, that appeals to somebody else. If we were all wired the same way, would that really be good for ministry purposes? No, it wouldn't. We would just be a bunch of robots walking around, and that'd be no fun either. We have a personality, and it's special, and it's unique. Don't run from it. Embrace it. The E for experiences. This is another one that hits home for me. Those parts of your past, both positive and painful, which God intends to use in great ways. Both positive and painful. Once again, as I started this, I spent many, many years not wanting to do anything for God and not feeling like I was even qualified to do anything for God because of my past. Those painful parts of my life that I tried to hide away, but yet kept coming up, followed me. Those are the things that God uses to impact others. The experiences that you've had in your life, the things that you've gone through, the hurtful times, the things that either you created or were created by somebody else, but they're still hard and tough times, those are things that are unique in your life that can help reach somebody else. And we have to be transparent with those. We have to embrace those in a healthy way because those are the things that can mold and shape and define you and create the person that God wants you to be, that resilient person that God wants you to become. So we can't run away from those things. We have to embrace both the positive and the painful things which God intends to use in great ways. So what has God already spoken to you? What has God already called you to do? A lot of times we don't want to listen to that call because we're afraid of it. Am I right? Has anybody here, just a show of hands, has anybody in here know without a shadow of a doubt God's called them to do something or told them to do something, and they were a little bit afraid of that? By a show of hands, anybody? Yeah, of course. Sometimes the things that God calls us to do can be frightening. So what moments or encounters with God in your past did the Lord use to show you his calling in your life? What confirmation did you receive from God's word and from trusted Christian mentors or leaders in your life? And that's a key aspect right there. And understanding and knowing your calling, yes, we have to have a deep relationship with God, first and foremost. We have to know who God is. We have to be in touch with him. We have to develop a relationship with God. We have to get into his word, and we have to know his word very well so we can align our thoughts with his word, and especially as it pertains to our calling, because it's very easy to get off that path. But we also have to have strong Christian mentors and leaders in our life that can help us navigate through that. So it's not just about those alone times where we're just hearing something from God. And those are important because you must hear it from God. If somebody comes into your life and they tell you that you need to go to Africa and start a church and you don't have any money to do so and nobody's ever told you to do that, maybe go to God before you get a ticket to Africa, right? Has anybody spoke something in your life and you've never heard anything like that from God and you've never had any confirmation from God? Am I right? So it's important that we not only seek God in our decision making, especially as it pertains to the call on our life, but we keep very trusted, close Christian mentors and friends to help us navigate through this. It's an important part of this. What have you done with what you already know? What steps did you take after hearing from God about your calling? What steps did you fail to take? And so we're going to talk about some men and women in the Bible that are really good examples of stepping out and immediately taking what God said to them and applying it to their lives and trusting God and obeying him. And then we're going to talk about some guys that maybe didn't do so hot when it came to the calling that God placed on their lives. So at this point, y'all would have some group work, but we're going to forego that group work for time, and we're going to talk about some of these men and women, and we're going to talk about responding to your call. So how will you respond to God's call in your life? Number one, will you disobey and neglect your call? For me, and now kind of get personal, when I was younger, and for me, I remember even as a young child, and it was kind of a weird thing when you're 8 years old and you have people, even adults, coming to you, and they'll start telling you your problem, their problems. It's very strange, and I never understood that, but from a very early age, I had people that would just share things with me, almost overshare, and that's hard to process when you're young, and I didn't understand that at all. And this continued on into middle school and then into high school, and my group of friends, I just was like the Dr. Phil of my friends, you know? They all had all these issues. Seriously, they had all these, I mean, tons of issues, and they had all these problems, and we would just have these sessions, and they'd always come to me and like, Jeremiah, I just don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this is happening. I'm like, me either. I don't know what you want from me. But I didn't understand that. It took me a long time in life to realize that that draw or that attraction that people had to me or that comfortability that they had, that they just shared things with me and personal things, that was placed there by God. But I didn't have anybody in my life to really help me navigate that and understand that that was something that was there. And it was there from birth. It was. It was already there. It was something that God placed in me, and so I didn't understand it. And so when I was in high school and I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, because that's a really weird time. You're like, all of a sudden, everything's fun, and you're hanging out with your friends all the time. You have almost no responsibility except for school and sports and all the fun stuff. And then the next day, the counselor's like, oh, hey, what are you going to do in college, or what are you going to do with your life? Oh, I don't know. I didn't think about it. We were just hanging out last week, and now I have to pick my whole life, you know, choose what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Well, I didn't have anybody to steer me in that direction, and I wish I would have had somebody in my life that could have said, hey, Jeremiah, you know that thing that we talked about? That's probably something that God placed in you, that comfortability that people have with you, that they're sharing their issues, that maybe you should research. You should study a little bit more about that and try to seek God and maybe understand why that's there. So for me, I made a wrong turn as high school came to an end, and I went into something that just fit what we were doing in our lives at the time. I was the cook at our parties, and so I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'll be a chef because, you know, that's the best place for a fledgling alcoholic to go into the restaurant industry. Yeah. But I had nobody to direct me and nobody to guide me and steer me. But I should have known, and I should have really had that person that could have really helped to direct and guide me at that time. And then I wouldn't have disobeyed or neglected my call. So a couple people that we have. The rich young ruler in Matthew 19, 16 and 22. I was reading this earlier and glimpse into my mind. All that I could think about the whole time I was reading this is the Meatloaf song. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Seriously, that's how crazy I am. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Yeah, huh? Yeah. No, not a song about Meatloaf. No. How is it that I'm the only one that was like, about thank you? Like, wow, I really thought I was going to get more people that would know the Meatloaf song. Seriously. Okay, well, anyway. So but I'm not even lying. So there's a glimpse into my mind. I'm a little crazy. So I'm reading this scripture in Matthew about the rich young ruler and how he's asking Jesus, like, what do I got to do? You know, what do I got to do to follow you? And Jesus is like, well, you know, obey the commands. You know, there's these 10 commands that are pretty strong. You might want to obey those. And then he gets to the part about the money, and he's like, I would do anything, but I won't do that, you know? And so, I could connect it. I got there. So that's what I was thinking about. I was like, this guy would do anything for God. Wow, I don't know if I can do that. How many of us have a I would do anything but in our lives? I do. And there's some things that I know I have to work on to really seek God about so I can fulfill that call in my life, because there's a lot of times in my life that I said, I would do anything for you, God, and then he would point that one thing out that I wasn't willing to let go of. Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. So we have to really be willing to lay down everything if he asks us to, our money, our finances, our families, our relationships. It's not even always the material thing. Sometimes it's a relationship that we just cling to no matter what because it's familiar, but it's toxic. Think about it. Think about what you have in your life that you might not be willing to give up for God. How about Jonah? I was a Jonah, except for I don't think I was as obstinate as Jonah for the reason he was. He just didn't like the Ninevites. He just didn't. He did not want them to be saved. But yet, he still did not go and do initially what God asked him to do. He deliberately disobeyed and neglected that call that God placed on his life. And God was so clear about it. This was a command direct from God, and he just disobeyed. And he was a prophet. He knew the word of God very well. So we can't be so hard, and we can't have such a lack of compassion for other people in our lives and a lack of empathy that we're willing to, I'll go anywhere and I'll preach to anybody except for those people over there because I just don't really care for them. No. We have to love everyone unconditionally. And if God sends you to some place and tells you to go to speak to that person and you don't like them, you better go. So number two, pursue your call without hesitation. So have you pursued your call with hesitation and reluctance? So these two guys, Moses. We all know what Moses did, right? Moses went back and forth with God over and over. I can't speak very well, God. And God's like, I got something for you. I'm going to send somebody. It's going to be good. Moses went back and forth. He was reluctant. He didn't feel good about himself. Moses had a past. And I think we can all identify with that. And so he didn't feel worthy to fulfill that call that God placed on his life. Gideon wanted like 30 signs. Gideon wanted God to do pretty much, he pretty much wanted God to just do it for him and he could lay in that, you know, in that threshing floor and just hide because he didn't want to go to battle and he was too afraid. And he asked God for a, you know, ton of signs. He was reluctant. He didn't trust God. He had fear in his life, and that fear was crippling him, but he did. He eventually went. He had feelings of inadequacy as well. So the third thing, have you tried to usurp others and the process to pursue your own call? So this one's taking it up a notch right here. It's not just the fear. This is actively trying to sabotage or come against somebody else's authority in order to elevate yourself. And sometimes we can do that without even realizing it because we can get this prideful idea that we're doing it for the greater good when in reality, we're just not abiding by the spiritual authority that God's placed in our lives. And that's terrible. Usurp means to seize and hold a position, an office, power, etc., by force without legal right. The pretender tried to usurp the throne to use without authority or right, employ wrongfully. The magazine usurped copyrighted material. Those are some examples of what usurp is. For those of you like me that had to look up usurp, right? Yeah. So for me, I just capitalize this with pride. We can get prideful in our lives, and we can have people in our lives that are over us and that are in places of power that we feel like they just shouldn't be there. They don't deserve the power that they have. They don't deserve the authority that they have. They're not handling that authority right. But has God called you to take them down? Has God called you to get in front of them? No. And David, look what David did. David ran for 14 years and never once took authority over the person that he was actually anointed over. But on the very first day that oil hit his head, Saul was no longer king. David was now in power. But David knew so much about spiritual authority that he never once lifted his hand against Saul. That's a man for 14 years who understood power and understood spiritual authority and following God's rule in that. So let's talk about Absalom because we're talking about David. We know that situation. That's a hard situation. David made some pretty bad mistakes. And then based on those mistakes, some things started happening in his life. And then his family started unraveling. And part of his family unraveling, his son started coming against him. And I can see it too. His son's just like at the city gates, just standing there like, hey, man. He's got nothing for you. He's not going to help you. I can help you. It's kind of like politics today, right? That's all we see is ads about people who know better than the next guy. So Absalom was standing there, and he was part of this plot to overthrow his dad. So he was participating in divisive behavior. He was just coming against that authority left and right. We can't have that. Gehazi, and I don't even know if I said that right, but Gehazi, he was the right-hand man, or he was walking with Elisha, the prophet Elisha. And Elisha decided not to take some money from these guys, and he decided to move on his way. And Gehazi, he just couldn't, he couldn't accept that. He could not accept that. And so without asking the man of God, without asking his spiritual authority, he deceptively went on and took money from this individual. And Elisha's a man of God. God spoke to him as it happened. Even the scripture says, "Was I not with you in spirit when he stepped down off the carriage?" I mean, he called him out immediately. But this guy had so much pride in his life that he disobeyed the man of God just to get some financial gain. He had disagreed with his authority. And then in Esther, the book of Esther, we have an example of somebody that did it right. Queen Esther, she was the model of patience. And she had some great opposition. Her people were basically in line to be eradicated, to be killed. The right-hand man of the king was doing all that he could to eradicate and wipe out all the Jews. And all she did was bide her time and gain the ear of her husband, the king. She didn't talk bad about this individual. She didn't mar somebody else's character in order to elevate herself. All she did was be patient and bide her time and wait for the right time for God to say now. And she made some key comments that completely changed the fate of her people. That's a person who knows authority and handles authority properly. So it's important that we do not elevate ourselves by tearing other people down or usurping other people's authority. Number four, follow your call immediately and do it exactly as God has said to do it. Noah, talk about a guy who has all the reason in the world to not follow the call that God placed on his life. He wasn't exactly in a lush forest full of trees to cut down and build this giant ark. He had all the reason in the world. He had everybody around him telling him he's crazy. It's never rained. What are you talking about? What's a boat? Seriously, what is that? Why are you building this monstrosity? Why are you wasting your life? He didn't waste time. He knew God that God called him to do it. He listened to God. He trusted God, and he obeyed immediately. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham waited for this son so long. How old was Abraham? Abraham was almost 100 years old. This guy wanted a son so bad. And then God says, Abraham, I'm going to need you to sacrifice this son that I gave you. How many of y'all would have a problem with that? There we go. I know I would. He didn't argue with God. He said, I trust you. Let's go up this mountain. I'll lay him on the altar for you. And we know the story. We know that God didn't allow that, that God provided a sacrifice and a way out. But he saw that Abraham, the man that he was going to build his people off of, trusted and obeyed him explicitly and immediately. And then Jesus, the greatest example of that, laid down his life for us. These are all wonderful examples of following the call immediately and exactly as God has said to do it. A lot of times we can follow that call, but we want to put in our own amendments into how we do that. Oh, I'll do that, but I want to do it this way. No, we have to follow God's call exactly. And number five, completely fulfill and finish your call. 2 Corinthians 8 and 11. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. So what does that mean? A lot of times we are so zealous for the things of God and we're so zealous about doing something for God, but then that fizzles out after time, right? Or it becomes kind of difficult and our eagerness fades. So we must match that eagerness with that willingness to complete it. That's important. And John 17 and 4 says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So it's important. So
As I transition to Pastor Stephen, I'm going to ask a question. What do you think is vital in the life of the believer? What characteristic do you think is vital in the life of a believer to fulfill that call explicitly and immediately? And I'm going to pass it to Pastor Stephen.
All right. Thank you, Jeremiah. Awesome. Well, guys, we're going to jump to, I told you we were going to give you a lot of information really fast going through two different chapters tonight. Going to transition to chapter 10 here real quick. Don't skip over completely this week over that homework from chapter 9. Take some time this week and look through some of the questions. Look through some of the things that Jeremiah talked about tonight and just some great information there about understanding, going after the call that God has. And guys, you don't have to be a pastor, okay? You have a calling on your life. I mean, each and every one of you in this room, as Jeremiah said and our mission says, you have God-given potential, right? And that's not just for people in full-time ministry. That is for all of us. It's a call that God has called us, all of us, to serve Him and to make a difference in this world through the different gifts and the abilities and talents that He's given us. And as Jeremiah said, as you jump to 10, there's a lot of different ingredients to that, characteristics to understanding and going after your call. But two that are super important that I want to touch on are the idea of trust and obedience, right? How many of you love the word obedience? I say this to starting point in the second week of every month, and nobody gets excited about the word obedience. How many of you have children? Amen, right? Yeah, they love that word, don't they? They just love it when we say, you better obey. You need to be obedient. They get super excited about that. Well, check this out. I'm going to read a couple verses. I believe they're in your notes. They're both from Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 9. Let's start with the one here in 4. And this is about the calling of the disciples, these men that spent time with Jesus. But it says in chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. So these guys were fishermen. This was their livelihood. This is what they did for a living. Their father taught them to do it. If they haven't already, they're going to just take over their father's business. This is what they do to make a living for themselves, for their families, right? And it goes on to say, Jesus looks at him and says, hey, come follow me, right? Now, and so this is what's important. Jesus goes on to say, and I will send you out to fish for people. I'll make you fishers of men, some of the different translations say, right? How many of you have heard that scripture before? But this is what I love, right? It says at once, right? It doesn't say an hour later. It doesn't say the next day. It doesn't say the next week or the next month. It says at once they left their nets and they followed him. Absolutely just love that, right? There's just no hesitation. That these guys, now listen, they're not out at Lake Sam Rayburn just having a good time on their day off fishing in their bass boat, right, as a hobby. This is like they're living. I mean, this is not just a fun off day from work having a good time. This is their very livelihood, and at once they left. No hesitation there. I love that. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee and preparing their nets, and Jesus called to them. And it says here, and immediately, right, they left their boat, or left the boat, and their father, right? So not just the boat, they left dad, and dad's sitting there saying, well, wait a second, who am I going to give my business to here? And these guys just take off, and they followed him. I just love that there's no hesitation on these guys. There is just complete what? Obedience, right, from these guys. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, we find another disciple and moment that they are called by Jesus, called and just asked, really, just to say, hey, come hang out with me. But it's Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. If you've studied this, if you know this, people hated tax collectors. They were like the lowest of the low. Nobody liked them. They were the outcast. And so the fact that Jesus is even talking to this guy got his attention, right? Because nobody wants to be around him. But he says, hey, follow me. And he's like, dude, nobody ever asked me to hang out. And he's like, hey, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. He didn't know where he was following him to. He didn't know what was about to happen. But he did it immediately. He got up and he followed them. What does that show us? It shows us this idea of obedience. And though it's difficult, though it may not be our favorite thing, as we grow, and you guys are now completing Grow Track 2, God is doing so much in your life. He did so much in Grow 1. Now he's doing it through Grow 2. You're at this place where you're growing in the Lord. You know, it's like we talk about Grow Track. Grow Track 1 is this idea where the seed is being planted in starting point in Grow Track 1, and it begins to grow. And then you get into Grow Track 2, and it begins to get watered and all this kind of stuff. It's really growing. You guys are growing. We see it in front of our eyes. And now you're turning this corner where God's beginning to show, maybe even already for some of you, this idea that he's got a calling on your life. And that's a little scary sometimes. And the question is, am I going to be obedient? Because like Jeremiah said, there's some fear with that. There's maybe a little bit of confusion in some things. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But obedience, the definition is, I think it's on your screen there. It might be in your notes. Following the commands or guidance of, to conform to and comply with, right, is obedience. Obedience is the key condition of our relationship with God. Did you guys catch that? If you're going to say yes to Jesus, if you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, this is a key condition. This is a very big part of your relationship with the Lord. To be obedient with just the things you like, no, with all of it. As Jeremiah was saying, sometimes there's these, I was the same way. When I came to know Jesus as a teenager, I transitioned to college, even going into Bible college, there were still some portions of my heart that I did not want to give the Lord. I just didn't want to be obedient in that, and it was holding me back. And there was a point where I had to say, you know what, God, you can have it all. I'm going to be completely and fully obedient. And once I did that, man, it really opened up a whole lot, just a new, more intimate relationship with the Lord and a clearer direction for my life. And so it's a key condition in our relationship with the Lord. Why is it so hard for us? And I'll let you guys answer that if you don't mind. Why is it so hard for us to be obedient when it comes to following God's leading in our life and the call in our life? Why do we hesitate? Anybody? Flesh. Yeah, definitely. Our flesh doesn't like it. What else? Right. Sometimes he asks us things that we don't have control over, huh? What else? Fear. Yes, that's a huge part of it. I know that's been a big deal for me, is fear, you know? Anybody else? Trust. Yep. Trust is something we're going to talk about, right? There's all these kinds of different things that this is, we can talk about it, and I can sit here and talk from this, and you can, you know, agree with me. But man, when it comes down to it, obedience is, it's tough at times, right? But obedience, it can be difficult, and it requires deep commitment, but it is so worth it. And there's this idea of his lordship. You know, we say in starting point, and Bonnie, she could repeat it, what I'm about to say, but I always say in week two, you know, everybody wants a savior, right? But not everybody wants a Lord. Because to say Lord, right, and this idea of lordship is to say, you can have it all, God, right? He's not truly Lord if we don't give him everything. If we don't be fully, if we're not fully obedient in every area of our life, even with our calling, right, that he has for our life, then is he really Lord? Not really. Completely, right? There's this idea of lordship that demands obedience, right? And through obedience, you fulfill his commands and his statutes. You must submit to the Lord. And for some of us in this room, there might be some pockets of our lives that we've not completely submitted to him. And I'm just going to do a plug for Grow Track 3, if that's all right. I'm over here, and I coach Grow Track 3, and it's been incredible. They're kind of the rough draft, and they've been going through it. We really hope to have you guys next semester in the spring. I challenge you to really pray about and jump into Grow Track 3. It's intense. I'm just going to warn you, but it's so good. Because it takes this idea, and a lot of it is about this. That's why I'm saying this right here, is it takes what you've learned in 1 and 2, and then the whole tagline of it is living lives of deep obedience that cost us something. Woohoo! That sounds fun, right? You know? But it's heavy. I'm just going to tell you, but it's so good. And there's folks over here next door that some of the teachings and stuff, and I'll be honest, me preparing for the teachings, I've been doing that, and I've been going through Encounter on Sunday nights. Y'all pray for me. I've been being kicked around and roughed up this semester in my own life, but it's been good because it's just reminded me that if I'm going to be fully obedient, if I'm going to truly trust him and go after all that he has for me, it's going to cost me some stuff, and it's reminded me of some things. And You know, they're over here, they're reading a book this whole month called Live Dead Journal, and it's just a daily reading, and it's from missionaries all around the world, more specifically in some of the hardest countries and parts of the world to serve the Lord. And man, it's tough, but it's so good. And I tell you what, guys, if you go in there, and I hope that you do, it's going to be great teaching. We don't make you do anything. We don't make you do the Live Dead Journal. We want you to get out of it what you want to get out of it, but our heart and our prayer is that you totally just give all that you got to it, and God's going to do some neat things in your life. So if you want more questions about Grow Track 3, let me know. But back to this idea, the word Lord, it means master. And the question is he truly the master of our lives? Because our calling is tied into that. It's important to understand that. You know, the correlative word for for this word master is slave or bondservant. Did you guys know that? And the idea of slavery is interesting. You know, the modern understanding of slavery is pretty negative over the last few hundred years, and with good reason, right? I mean, it just is, right? However, in Jesus' time, slavery was similar to being a servant. Okay, people would sell themselves to another in order to provide food for their family and a roof over their head. Our understanding is of that of a slave is one who's held against his or her will and forced to do what they're told or they're going to suffer the consequences, which is wrong. Okay, right? That's wrong and that's not good, right? But in Jesus' time, it was looked at a little bit differently. There's the idea of a bond servant, right? A bondservant, slave, had but one desire, and that was to please and obey his master. Why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing that up because a love slave of Jesus, if that's who we are, we should desire to do his will. We should desire to obey his commands in our life. Does that make sense to you guys? And so Jesus must be first in every phase of our life, right? He must be before our ambitions. He must be before friendships, even relationships, before family. Hello, that's tricky, right? Even before life itself, when we're truly submitted to his will and to the calling that he has on our life. His lordship over you must take precedence over your wants, over your desires, over your needs. And we go deep into that in Grow Track 3, and it's good, it's good. Something else to remember is that this idea of obedience and trust, one of you mentioned trust, they go hand in hand. There's an old hymn of the church. If you've been in church a long, long time, maybe you recognize this song, but it's Trust and Obey. It's an old hymn of the church, and these words are placed together, right? And in verse 4, it reminds us, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay, right? For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey, right? So huge. I mean, that is so important. Your obedience, my obedience, is proven by our outward conduct, right? It's by our outward conduct. You prove your trust in God when you obey him. So let's transition here. Obedience and trust will ask us a few tough questions. Y'all ready to try to answer these tough questions? First one's this. Are you ready to take some risk? Yep, you got to take some risk. Being obedient may involve you taking some risk that involve fear, that involve the very things we talked about just a second ago, right? I don't understand why people say that being a follower of Jesus Christ is so boring or going to church is boring. We as people make it boring. Why? Because we just show up and check it off our list. But if we're fully obedient to God, if we're completely submitted to him and to his will and said, okay, God, it's your plans, not mine, and we begin to follow him, I guarantee you it's not boring because there's going to be some risks that are presented to you that are going to be scary, that you're going to say, there is no way I can do that unless God shows up. And that's exactly the whole idea, is to let him show up and he gets the glory at the end of the day and not us, right? So taking risk is not boring. Would anybody agree with that? Right, I believe the greatest risk that you and I can take is to take no risk at all. Again, in starting point, I'm saying a lot of stuff we say. I just spoke week 3 in starting point talking about purpose, and I mentioned some of these things. When we take risk, we demonstrate what? We demonstrate our faith in God. And faith is such a big part of our relationship with the Lord, right? Risk or faith is risky business, isn't it? Faith embraces uncertainty. How many of you love to do that? I don't. I don't like to embrace uncertainty, but that's part of faith. This is uncomfortable for us because we don't know how it's going to turn out. We may fall flat on our face, right? We might. Sometimes we do, you know, but God is always there to pick us up and to help us, right? So what is that risk for you? Where do you need to be obedient? Do you need to finish that degree? Do you need to start that degree for some of us in the room? You know, starting a business. Is it leading a group here at Timber Creek Church? Everybody say yes. Right? I don't see everybody nodding their heads. I'm the groups guy. You got it. No. But I will plug and say, after you've gone through Grow Track 2, you are now ready to lead a group. So let me know afterwards. We'll get you set up. So is it becoming a team leader or a coach? We have that opportunity here. If you're on a dream team, some of you in this room, and I'm looking at all of you, you've been feeling it inside that God has more for you to lead people. Don't ignore that. I know that's scary. I know that maybe you've never done that before, but we will help equip you to be the leader that God's calling you to be as a team leader, right? To be a team coach, maybe, to go from leader to coach, where you're not just leading members on a dream team. God wants you to begin to lead the other leaders, right? That's in some of you in this room, and God's calling you to do it, so be obedient. Is it jumping on the starting point team? And Bonnie says amen. Is it jumping on the grow track team on any of the three grow tracks that we've got? Is it jumping into the encounter team? Is it going to encounter because you're scared? You hear everybody talk about what God did in encounter, and you're like, I don't know if I want God all up in my business like that. You know, and maybe because I have had those conversations with people, and God needs to get up all in your business a little bit, right? So maybe that's where you need to be obedient. Is it following God's call into ministry? My heart is that we continue to see people come out of Grow Track feeling called into full-time, part-time ministry, right? And that's not always what we see. It's not always a position like mine. It could be Callie going into the Navy and God using you to reach other kids that have never had an experience with Jesus, and yet you're going to have the opportunity to be around other guys and girls that are going to walk into that new transition in their life, right? Maybe it's a following God's call into missions. I don't know. What is God calling you to do? But you need to be obedient. If we're willing to take risk and we're willing to be obedient when he instructs you to get up and go, then he will provide everything you need for that process. He's going to walk with you. It might be just what you need, just right at the right time. In fact, he operates like that a lot, you know. But he'll give you exactly what you need. Are you ready to take the risk? Number two, do you have the courage, right? It takes courage to be obedient in the call that God has for your life. I'm convinced tonight that the one thing between you and the plan God has for you is just one small step of courage, right? That's all it is. And you just need to take that step of faith and courage. One courageous choice to be obedient may be the only thing between you and the dream you've had for many, many years. You knew what God laid on your heart years ago. You've just said, I'm not good enough, or you've put it up on the shelf and it's gotten dusty all these years, and you need to pull it back off the shelf and just trust the Lord and take that step of courage and faith, right? Through the years of ministry in my life and through just life for me, God has led me to be obedient at times, and it's been scary. It really has. I mean, there's been moments that it's been scary. But you know what scares me the most is missing out on what God has for my family and I, right? I'm more scared of that than the step of faith that I got to take to follow God's will. And some of those steps are big. Some of them are scary. Let the fear of missing out on God's plan and your calling be greater than your fear of stepping out, right? Let it be greater than that. And most of us, we want absolute certainty before we step out in faith. We want that money-back guarantee, amen, right? That's just how we operate. You know what? But the problem with that is it takes faith out of the picture, and faith is such an important ingredient. So do you have the courage? Number three, are you ready to be a kid again? I love this part, right? I have many great memories of growing up in Southeast Texas, in Beaumont, Texas, not too far from here, and one of those memories is lightning bugs. You know what I'm talking about? You guys know what lightning bugs are, right? And I love those little things when I was growing up, and I've taught my children now to run around at that time of year and try to catch them. And of course, they always want to smear the stuff instead of, like, don't kill it, you know, just let's put it in a jar and make it light up. But they want to kill it. But I would play outside every day until dark. That was just me. No video games. I just wanted to be outside all the time. And that time of year, I would play outside until dark most every night, just before my parents would make me come in for the night. And I would chase those bugs, and I would try to catch them. And life was so much easier back then, wasn't it? You know, when we were kids and we could chase lightning bugs. We had no worries, and we had things. We had time to do things like that, like chase lightning bugs. And we still need something to chase, guys. We still do. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. It doesn't matter the mistakes. It doesn't matter what season of life. It doesn't matter if you have kids or not kids, you're married or not. It doesn't matter. You still need something to chase. We all do. And as we get older, we forget that. We get too busy. Life distracts us. And we may grow up and we may stop chasing lightning bugs, but we still need something to chase, no matter what age we are. And that's what's exciting about following God, is he's got a call on every one of your lives. And if you'll just keep following him till the day you're at home with him. You know, Bob Lewis, we had a great time Sunday celebrating his life. That man chased the Lord till the day he was with Jesus, right? He would tell you that life didn't get boring after a certain age, you know. Just because he may have retired from full-time ministry doesn't mean that he didn't still chase after the Lord and have to be obedient, right? That's the same for all of us. And I believe God is calling us to be obedient, and if he'll also, and he is also calling many of us to chase the dreams that maybe some of us have forgotten. So maybe it's time to start chasing those dreams and to chase God again. And the answer to all of these questions, those three questions, is yes for all of you. To take risk, to have the courage, to be a kid again, the answer is yes for all of us. And remember this, God is with us when we hear him. Okay, right? When he speaks to us and when we hear him, he's with us when we listen. He's with us when we respond to him, right? He is with us when we go and finally decide to be obedient and go after him and after the calling on our life. And he's with us when we obey, right? He's with us throughout the whole process, trust and obedience, okay? So here I want to just talk with you guys for a little bit. You are almost done. Hope I'm leaving enough time here. You're almost done with Grow Track 2. It's so hard to believe that we're almost done with this semester. You'll come back after Halloween and you'll have 2 weeks, right? It is so important to us, and we believe so much in the biblical mandate, guys, to pursue and fulfill God's call on our lives, that we're incorporating this into Grow Track 3. So here's the deal. We did the same thing last semester, last spring, with the group that's in the next room. Earlier tonight, we learned that God gives us this unique shape. Amen? We all have a unique shape in more ways than one, right? But no, that acronym, right, that we have all these different components that make us who we are. God wants to use that. So we will be equipped to fulfill his call on our lives because of our shape, because of the different things that he's given us, right? And as Christ followers, check this out. God's call on our lives is not optional. Did you guys hear that? It's not optional. Some of you may be getting nervous in the room when I say that. But it's not optional, right? Choosing to be a follower of Jesus means choosing to pursue his call on your life by trusting and obeying God, right? And we believe in that. Our mission statement here at our church would not be your God-given potential as our mission if we didn't believe that. And I am so glad to be part of a church that really, truly believes that and tries to do everything we can to be as intentional as we can to see you move, to see you grow, and then to go after God's potential for your life. Therefore, in order to be part of Grow Track 3, you ready for this? You must be taking a next step to fulfill that God-given potential by serving. We want you to serve. Did y'all hear that? That's a prerequisite. You can't go to Grow Track 3 if you're not serving somewhere. I look around the room, and most of you guys are all serving, so it's okay. But if you're not, and we had some people last semester, was like, wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, we love you enough to say that. We care about your growth as an individual to say that, that you need to be serving if you're going to go on to Grow Track 3 next semester. You must be taking next steps in fulfilling your God-given potential and calling by serving either on a dream team or as a group leader. Amen? We all want to be group leaders? Why are you laughing? That's the Lord right there. She's laughing. She gets it. She knows. Just kidding. We would be doing, here's the big deal, guys. We would be doing a disservice to you if we allowed you to keep learning and growing and sitting in your chair and just getting spiritually fat and happy and not pushing you out and stretching you to serve and use your God-given potential to make a difference in this world, right? So keep learning, keep growing. And just as Jesus sent out the disciples, right, to go and to make disciples, he's calling you guys in your workplace, in your family. Look, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to go to France for 2 years like I did, right? You can be a missionary right in your workplace. God wants to use you. And again, not just here at Timber Creek. Absolutely, we want to give you that opportunity. But it goes beyond that, too. It's here in Lufkin and your surrounding area, right? To do something with your gifts, the talents, the abilities that God's given you. So this week, we want to make sure that we give you the opportunity to take the right next step. So here's a couple things, okay? Some of you may be serving already. Raise your hand if you're serving on a dream team. Like I said, almost all of you guys, right? And so, but maybe you've sensed, as you walk through this process, God's stirring up a passion or a gift in you that is not being fulfilled in your current area where you serve. And that's okay. And all the ministry leaders around the campus throw something at me when I say that. Because they're like, don't take them from my team. but I got people on teams too. So, but again, we love this enough and we think this is important enough to say that. Right? My wife would tell me to say, everybody needs to go to the nursery. But no, you know, it's, you know, that's just the way God's given us. And you're shaking your head. No, me too. But, you know, if God is stirring something in you, maybe God's called you to be a teacher. Maybe to teach in KidWorks, teach in the youth ministry, teach in GrowTrack. Teach and encounter. We're starting to see that. A lot of people, y'all are funny. I wish I get pictures of these faces. They're like, that ain't me. Your next step, though, guys, if that's you, is to move into the area that does align with your calling, which you feel like God's. And if you're like, I just don't know right now, that's okay. Let's just keep praying and seeking God and serve where you're at. But if you're feeling that stirring that maybe you're not in the right spot, Let us help you. Let Bonnie and I and our team, let us help you find that right spot. Some of you may not be serving or haven't served in a while, and that's okay. That's all right. And you can choose to do that. But I wish you wouldn't, because God has so much more for you. You know, your next step is to respond to what God is speaking to you and step into serving, leading, fulfilling your potential, and whatever that might be. And if we can help you, let us help you. Some of you already may already be serving in the right lane. Some of you are right in the right spot where you need to be, right? Your next step may be to go to another level. Like I said earlier, maybe it's time you step into a team leader position, a team coach position. What new leadership role might God be calling you to pursue, right? Remember, God wants to make us, wants to take us from glory to glory to glory. What does that mean? That's scripture, but he wants to grow us, guys. He wants us to be stretched. He wants us to become all in all more who he's called us to be. He has always has more for us, and I'm so thankful for that. No matter which category I just described that you find yourself in, we are always called to remain open, right, to what God may want to speak to us in the future. Different seasons come and go. There's seasons for being a team leader with this, and then all of a sudden a season for that, right? There's seasons for semesters for leading a group, and then God may shut that door and you feel led to do something else, right? So just keep that in mind. And so what we want to do, I've taken most of the time here. I think maybe we got about 10 minutes. So what we've done is, Jeremiah said earlier, what's on the table in front of you? And table host, you can help us out. There's three things. Number one, there's something like this. So we already kind of, thanks to Miss Bonnie, we appreciate you doing this, Miss Bonnie. We already got some of you. If we have record of your spiritual gifts assessment from Starting Point and your personality assessment, we've got it and it's on here, okay? So your table host has that. Maybe you want to see it. Maybe you did it a long time ago and you're like, man, a lot's happened since then. I'm not real sure that's who I am anymore. If we don't have record of that, we would love for you to fill out the personality assessment. Take it with you this week. Fill it out. Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to hit the nail right on the head. You're going to realize what type of personality you have. And you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's me. I'm introverted. I'm extroverted. And then we can start trying to help you find that place to serve if you're not already serving, or get you in the right spot if you're in the wrong spot. Then the third thing is this dream team packet. A lot of this is what we give our Starting Point students, so just disregard some of the front of it, unless you've never filled one of these out before, right, Miss Bonnie? Should I say that?
I think
I was just saying the packet, if they've already filled this out before, they need to disregard the stuff at the front. But we'd love for you to fill the whole thing out. But these are available on the table, too. The biggest thing that these are available for is they also list all the Dream Team opportunities that are available. So if you're serving somewhere and you're like, man, I've just been feeling this kind of like stirring to do something different, check it out. See what's on there. And so those are the three things that are at your table. And we'd love for you to take about just the rest of the class a few minutes before Ashley comes up and closes to look through that. Ask your table host any questions. Ask me. Why are we doing this? We're doing this because you have a call on your life. And we want to make sure that you're taking those steps to pursue that call and being trusting and obedient to what God's calling you to do. Any questions? We threw a lot at you tonight. That was a fire hydrant, wasn't it? All right, we'll give you a few minutes at your tables, and then we'll close up.
All right, all right. We are going to go ahead and wrap up tonight. Really, really amazing teaching. Thank you, Jeremiah and Pastor Stephen, for those teachings. I remember Talia and Alyssa, my spiritual parents or mother and aunt, a long time ago telling me that delayed obedience is disobedience as well. And it in my head every single day, because I know that there are things that God has asked me to do, but that fear, that flesh sometimes gets in the way, and I don't always take the necessary steps that I need to take in order to be walking in complete obedience, Pastor Stephen. There, I confess. See, now that's the first step right there, is confessing it. So thank y'all for coming tonight. Be sure to pick up your food if you brought anything out in this little kitchen area. Megan said that she tried to box everything up the way that it came, so make sure you grab what was yours. And then also, if this is your first time taking one of the spiritual gifts tests, please make sure you bring it back next week, and we'll need that the week after, not next week, because we're not here next week. Don't come next week. Go to Light the Night. But Miss Bonnie will need those in order to get all of that put into the system. And anything else? No? Okay. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we just ask for a safe travels home. And we ask that you would help us to walk in obedience and whatever it is that you're calling us to. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Homework 9 and 10.
Homework 9 and 10.